Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcast. Tonight, I have a returning guest, Nasir Ahmed. He's also known as Ergon, and he's one of the editors of the Meredith Kircher websites. And tonight, he will be talking about the European Court of Human Rights claim that Amanda Knox has submitted, and also discussing the results of Rafael Saletto's recent compensation lawsuit that came back yesterday from the Florence courts in Italy, which was rejected. So I was going to wait here for Nasir to call in, and tonight he will talk about the $500,000 that we're going to start with Rafael Saletto's $500,000 lawsuits. He was suing Italy for half a million euros. And it was the Florentine courts rejected it yesterday, which was Saturday, February 11th. And they said the reasoning, or part of the reasoning, was that Rafael had lied to the police, which caused him to be arrested. All right, here we go. Nasir is on. See if you can hear me. Hi, Nasir.
Hello. Hi. How are you, Liz?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It was quite interesting to see how this just happened the other day with Rafael Saletto.
Mm-hmm.
I was also, just previous to this, I had been in touch with the European Court to see what was happening with Amanda Knox's case. And it was a very interesting tie-in to see that he lost so badly and so thoroughly. But
Let's start with that. Let's start with Rafael Saletto's claim and how that would happen there.
Okay. The European Court is a court of final appeal, but it cannot overturn any national court decisions. However, Saletto's lawyer, Giulia Bongiorno, has already stated that she's going to file an appeal to the Italian Supreme Court for this reversal, because she feels that they made mistakes in the reasoning and they didn't consider his claim that he had made his statements, his false alibis under duress. And so she's taking this further. And if, of course, she doesn't get the decision she likes, she very likely will take it further to European Court of Human Rights. And Amanda Knox had already gone and ahead, and she filed a separate claim some time ago, as you know, about the conviction that she received for 3 years for falsely accusing her boss, Patrick Lumumba, of the murder of Meredith Kircher. This may seem like they are two separate cases, but actually they're quite closely conjoined, as Saletto and Amanda Knox are actually quite conjoined throughout the whole series of trials, and it may seem like there's so many trials going on, but these are the main trials that are going on right now.
Yes, and this case has been very active, and last month in January alone, just to give a little recap, in the beginning of January, Rudy Gadet's trying to appeal his case was rejected, was ruled inadmissible. And then at the end of January, Rafael Saletto appeared on BBC giving an interview saying that he was in debt and needed the 500,000 euros from I keep wanting to say dollars. And then yesterday, so we found out yesterday. Now, they took a long time. The Florence court took their time in giving this decision. And they just gave it yesterday on a Saturday. Was that unusual to give a decision like that?
Well, they do delay sometimes in issuing that. It just was that earlier reports had given the impression that they would be issuing a ruling in 5 days. And that is why there was a delay. But really, they can do that so within 90 days. And the only thing, though, was that it actually worked out quite well, because then he went running off to London and just really looked very bad when he got this. He started complaining and arguing his case in the media once again. And I think that that worked against him, and the judges took note of that. And because there are certain principles which apply here, both in terms of to him and to Amanda Knox as well. And Amanda Knox is a separate case, and that is that they're both public figures. They have gone and published books in which they have repeated everything that they said. Therefore, one of their claims of their right to privacy, which Amanda Knox is making, really falls by the wayside just on that, because Amanda Knox's claim to the European court does make mention of that. So it, and these all being European courts, then a decision that is made at the national level does have an impact at the European court level, and it requires a much higher standard of proof to indicate that, well, there was some sort of a really horrible infringement of the Human Rights Convention before they will even hear the case. And what I found out when I inquired of the court whether her appeal had even been ruled admissible, then I was told that actually they haven't even made a ruling on that yet, which means that that case has been delayed as the parties go back and forth. And that really upset the Knox camp, because they were saying, oh, she's definitely going to get an overturned at the European court level. So it all came together in January, and maybe the astrology doesn't quite count in this, but I think you mentioned something about legal matters.
Oh, yes, yes. I think the astrology does show it. But when did she apply for this attempt to... When did Amanda Knox submit this European Court of Human Rights report, or whatever you call it, her claim, if you want to call it?
It's a claim. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
been a while,
her
though,
lawyer,
right?
It's been a while. And again, that was also delayed at length. So I had to go look up all the criteria as to when and where they accept a claim. So first of all, she instructed her lawyers to do so around November 25. And so there's a question as to whether it's admissible even in a time frame, because according to the law, you have to file a claim within 6 months of receiving knowledge of the decision. If you have sufficient knowledge, if either your lawyer or your or you yourself know that you've lost the case against your conviction for accusing Patrick Lumumba, which was on March 25, then to my reading, it seemed like, okay, it was too late. However, I may be wrong in this, and she actually received a written motivation report on June 18, and according to her, she filed it on November 25. even though the court only shows receipt around to December, but I'm just assume that that is okay, though I would question that. But aside, the other thing, though, is that, yes, it has been delayed quite a while, and you would expect them to at least admit the case, that it's going to be judged on the merits or not. And according to their press office, no, they haven't even made a decision, because there's also they're asking for information and they're sending information back and forth. But really, where I just wanted to make the point was that Solicito's ruling actually has a very big influence on what the possible outcome will be. That is that she does not really have a case, because they're both claiming duress.
Ah, okay, so now, just to clarify, that was November 25th, 2015 that she submitted it. So it's been...
No,
sorry.
Okay. The Supreme Court, the first Supreme Court ruled against her on March 25, and the notice was filed March 26th of 2013. And a written report, and so you may be thinking about the final acquittal, which is in March 2015.
Right.
Okay. And she went ahead, and since it was a fine, the Colonia conviction was finalized in March, she really should have done so within 6 months, but okay, you can argue that she received a written notification in June. And therefore, she had 6 months, and she filed it by November 25, she says.
Okay.
Now, the but the thing, though, is that she has a... the case itself, before the... court, I mean, the court received her application. It did not admit her application. It did not rule, make a ruling on admissibility. So there's a further stage, which means that you look at the facts of the case and you decide either to admit it or you decide to reject it. And no ruling has been made yet. And that's where we are at right now.
Wow. So her application has not been even accepted yet. So she has no way
Correct.
Of knowing if it'll even be accepted. And I kind of find it difficult to believe it will be. I mean, which, you know. But
yes,
Yeah. No, go ahead. I was just going to say
Well, here's the here's what we know about her application, because she will not release it, okay? But the court says that there are three factors. One is that she must, is the right to a fair trial. One is the right to a translator, the right to be informed of the charges in a language she can understand, whether she was abused in the process, whether there was a Article 8 which has to do with whether she was her right to privacy was removed. Those are that is something that she I'll just read this out. It's like, this case concerns criminal proceedings in which Ms. Knox was found guilty of making a false accusation. The offending statements were taken while she was being questioned in the context of criminal proceedings for the murder and sexual assault of her flatmate. The applicant was accused of implicating another person whom she knew to be innocent. So that's the first point, whom she knew to be innocent. Ms. Knox alleges that the criminal proceedings in which she was convicted were unfair, relying on Article 6(1) and 3A, right to a fair trial, right to be informed promptly of the charge, right to legal assistance, right to assistance from an interpreter, Article 3, prohibition of inhuman and degrading treatment, and Article 8. Right?
Oh, sorry.
So it's like she got waterboarded or something. And okay. And Article 8, right to respect for private and family life of the convention. Okay. So first we are going to deal with the more superficial complaints, because I don't know if it will even go any further. And the court can decide, because first they're asking for information, and they went back and forth, and there have actually been three communications between the court and the parties, and that's why the delay.
Wow.
And So that's why it's taken so long, and we still don't know whether it will be admitted at all. It may be rejected altogether. It may be accepted in part, and then it will be argued on the merits. They will suggest to both parties to arrive at a private settlement, and if the parties refuse, and my understanding from the Italian side is that they are being very hard-nosed about it. They're saying she's not entitled to anything due to her own actions. And this is where the Sollecito case has bearing on it. And then she also did receive the services of a translator and all that, but we'll get into that. But the main thing is that they're refusing, and therefore the court either has to accept the application or will reject it, and that'll be that.
So now you're saying Sollecito affects it. Do you think Italy has just rejected Sollecito to send a message to both of them that we're not taking any blame for this, or we haven't treated you unfairly?
In my opinion, I think that there's a certain degree of gamesmanship going on, in that the Supreme Court already said they already placed them, even the final decision, placed them at the scene of the crime. They just couldn't accept that there was proof, sufficient proof that they actually committed the murder. But they placed them at the scene of the crime. Sollecito has been found to be guilty of lying throughout. And the 12-page ruling, it's pretty dense. I mean, it's just 12 pages, but we haven't been able to translate it yet. And I'll just deal with the broad points that they made, that he was the author of his own misfortune. He changed his story several times. He lied about the alibi. He could have gone and just said, okay, he was an accomplice. But he really withdrew her alibi. And that, nevertheless, the proof was there that they were both there. I mean, her even more so than him. And so I just think, and of course they said, well, you've made a lot of money selling your story, and so therefore you don't deserve any compensation anyway. And he was really claiming the maximum, 500,000 euros plus about 16,000 incidentals. And he lost very badly, and that... I think that the principle that they're applying are that they both lied. And it actually, at first it seemed like, oh, the court might rule in her favor, because I'm talking about the European court, because they asked for that judgment in January of last year, where the Bonansegna court had the first court had ruled several police people had filed a calumny, a defamation lawsuit against her, because she said that they had abused her, slapped her on the head, and that's the inhuman treatment, you know, where
mm-hmm,
she's claimed
mm-hmm.
duress. And so then they went in And the court rejected their claim of defamation against the policeman. So you think, okay, Knox has a fairly good chance at the European court. And they asked for a copy of that. But now, to be fair, then they will have to ask for a copy of Sollecito's judgment as well, because the principles are the same. And I really think that the Italian government will be arguing that they were both at fault because they lied about each other. I mean, the list of lies, I mean, we could talk about her books, their books.
It'll take too many shows to cover all those lies.
Yeah.
Take a year.
And it is a principle of Italian law that if you lie, then at the very least it's obstruction of justice. And there's even an article, 314 or something, which says that, well, if you lie to the police, you can't run around and claim compensation for unjust imprisonment afterwards. And that's why Sollecito lied. I'm sorry, he lost. And that really applies to, and that's why I just wanted to make this point, that the two are closely connected. Amanda Knox lied. And her principal lie, and for which she seems, at first I was wondering, I mean, is she just being cheap and trying to avoid pay Patrick Lumumba his $40,000 euro award for false defamation and accusation? Or was it something deeper, more psychologically based? And based on her behavior, the way she's been running all over the United States, giving media interviews and talking to high school children about false imprisonment and this and that, she looks like she's trying to redeem herself in the public eye. And that's why she's pursuing this case.
And get revenge on the prosecution, right?
Oh, please. That's so, you know, they, not just her, but her family, they're so behind this whole thing of, poor John Kircher, Meredith Kircher's dad, he finally wrote something in the Daily Mail about how he was just so tired of hearing about them in the news all the time, and he wished they would just not give any more interviews. And
well, they seem to be attacking the Kirchers. I mean, why did Raphael Sollecito go to BBC in the UK to give an interview about his compensation? And why did Amanda Knox just a few days ago, right around the time when this is coming out, only in UK papers, in the Daily Mail and in the Sun, I believe, some article about not wanting to change her name? It seems like they're always doing it in the UK media to get to the Kirchers. It's all, it's what it looks like, anyways.
Yes, and it's sad in a way that the only media that will do that are the BBC, The Guardian, and Daily Mail, and American media will not even cover it at length, though we're trying to do it through Radar and a few other cases. I mean, it really let quite a few reporters know that this case is a lot more complicated and not as simple as the way it's being portrayed by the Knox publicity machine. But I think one thing that you will have to keep in mind is that much of this case has been tried in the media, and it's a pity that the Knox side has gone and taken over that media profile, which results in unfair coverage. But there you go.
Yeah. Okay, great. Wonderful. And so actually, one last thing, we have about 5 minutes left. And I know you wanted to just to quickly compare. I know we did a podcast not long ago comparing the murder of Meredith Kircher case to the Madeleine McCann case. And I thought you wanted to mention, is there any similarities now between the two cases?
Yes, there
new
is.
Similarities?
True. Well, when we discussed it the last time, then we talked about the publicity campaign, the arguments about DNA that was found and the forensic evidence that was found on the scene, and the lastly, the whole thing about the court cases that were very similar. So just recently, the Portuguese detective who published a book in which he just published his notes about the whole case, and he sort of implicated that he felt the McCann parents were implicated in the death of their daughter. Then he was sued, and the McCanns sued, and they received an award, actually pretty close to 500,000 euros as well against Goncalo Amaral. But the Portuguese Cassation, the Supreme Court, has just thrown out the case against them and said that they actually owe him costs and he's welcome to free expression. Now, the McCanns are talking about going to the European Court as well. But one thing that was decided at the Supreme Court level was freedom of expression and two, that there are public figures. Amanda Knox, her other case was, her HIV results were released and so on. They really have no bearing on that. It really will boil down to her word against the police, whether she had a translator, whether she was a suspect or not, official, and she wasn't an official suspect at the time. She just showed up at the police station and she started giving interviews. But I honestly feel that the case, the two are, they're all closely tied in together because European courts, their precedents do carry through to the European court. I don't believe the McCanns have a case before the European court. And Rafael Solicito is also saying he will go to the European court if he doesn't get his compensation. I don't believe he has a case there either. And now, thanks to this recent decision in Florence, I believe that Amanda Knox also does not have a case before the European Court.
Wow. Now, one last thing to sign off on. We have to wait and see if Rafael's lawyer, Bongiorno, does appeal. Now, can she just automatically appeal this, or does it have to be accepted? How does that go?
I think that there's an automatic right. You could pretty much say that you don't have a chance and so on, but she does have a right to file an appeal. So I believe he will instruct her to, and she's already indicated she will. But I just, at this stage, just from the preliminary translation of the ruling, I think he has no case at all. He really, it is a fundamental principle of the law that if you lie to the police, then you automatically implicate yourself. And even the Supreme Court decision that exonerated Knox and Solicito said that, you basically lied, and therefore it could be construed as your involvement in the murder. And therefore, you can't claim compensation, and you can't also say that your confessions or withdrawal of Amanda Knox's alibi or the calumnia against Patrick Lumumba were made under duress. That's the bottom line.
Right. Yeah, and they were both found lying, so they both don't have a case then. So that'd be very interesting. So it looks like they... neither of them may end up getting anything in the end as far as compensation, but they did do so well with books and giving talks and getting paid for donations and whatnot. So I think they've done quite well even without compensation.
poor Donald Trump. He even donated to her legal fund.
God. Oh no! You had to bring up the name that we could escape.
No,
even Donald Trump's involved.
Yep, but it's done. What's done is done. And now they really have no case, in my opinion.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you very much, Nasir. It's always great to hear from you. And, so that's it. So it's the end of our show. So thank you again for being on, and have a good night.
Thank you, Liz. You too.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Good night.